This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, you have made it. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. The end of the week is here. Put a smile on your face. We have a huge show for tonight. We'll talk about the DNC surprise that wasn't last night. That's a hilarious story. There are questions from everywhere. Do I have tattoos? Are the illegals going to vote in the election? What do I think about the media? My history in construction, World War II. You are all over the map with the questions today, and I love that. I dig it. It's going to be a great Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Before we get to the questions and other things, I want to get to last night. Now, I know you've probably already heard all the clips, and I'm not going to play a bunch of stuff for you. Who gives a crap about the DNC? It was brutal. It was boring. It was weird. I got it. You got it. We all got it. Dome, obviously not a great orator, but you know, she lets the important parts slip out.
We can create an earned pathway to citizenship and secure our border.
Pathway to citizenship. That's amnesty. So there's that. She talked about her experience working with Joe Biden.
We're seniors facing elder abuse.
There was that. And set all that stuff aside. What was the story that wasn't a story last night? Well, we've been talking about the kind of campaign they're running. The campaign based on nothing. No positions, no position page. No real policy stances, couple little hints of communism here or there, but it's a campaign running on joy. You know, they're selling joy. They're selling some kind of weird religious fervor.
Quote unquote. Biden did something important last night, and he transferred the machinery of the party to Kamala Harris. The Obamas renewed the magic of the movement. That's what they were transferring. It was a sacred task. They took it on well. It was like an oasis. I didn't realize I had been in a spiritual desert until they created that oasis on that stage.
Yeah, it's weird. And as we've talked about, we're not going to go over this again. It's for some people, that kind of talk, that kind of politics based only on emotion, based on some weird religious devotion to communism, it is effective on some people.
I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I'm stealing from Peter to pay Paul. And I know it's cyclical. I know, you know, you can't blame the sitting president for everything that's wrong. You can't blame past presidents for everything that's wrong. But come on, guys, we've got to do something.
Again, that was earlier this summer. I checked in with Michelle again after President Biden dropped out of the race.
How do you feel about the race now?
This is going to sound crazy, but I feel better because I don't know. I know I said on my last interview, like, don't really hear from Kamala, but I think I'm with Kamala. I've watched her. I think she has to get her feet wet. She was only the vice president, like, she, you know, but I think a woman running this country. Oh, God, I hope.
Yeah. So that's the kind of campaign they're running. And we won't go into the whether that's going to be effective or not, but that is the campaign they're running now. It's the campaign they're going to run. Nothing solid, nothing concrete, pure emotion, pure joy, or just flat out lies. You know, stealing Trump's stances on things, no taxes on tips. That's the campaign they're running. And they're banking on that being enough. The question is, can they take that too far? Can they manage to take it so far that it actually offends some of the people, even the religious zealots, who have been following them? Because they did something last night. It's very obvious to anyone who is paying attention. They did something last night. During last night's program, the program sounds so official. During last night's radio show when we were doing it,
Chris and I try to keep up with everything going on during the breaks in case anything happens live, anything big we want to know, we want to be able to tell you about it, okay? So we began to hear the rumors during the breaks. Now, they were just rumors, so I didn't bring them to you. And there was nothing concrete. I try to always make sure I know what I'm bringing you. But we began to hear the rumors last night that there was going to be a surprise guest at the DNC. And these rumor is a strong word. This wasn't as if I heard from a guy who heard from a guy who slipped me a note. There were major media outlets like TMZ. Major media outlets began to report that there was going to be a surprise guest last night, and it was going to blow the roof off. You're not gonna believe the surprise. And that began to leak out into the ether last night before the convention really kicked off. How? People were talking about, it's going to be George Bush. George Bush is going to speak at the convention. And everyone on the right was mad. Oh, what a traitor. And okay, so that turned out to not be true. And then the main name that was getting thrown around was, I heard it's going to be Beyonce, you know, the singer chick. It's going to be Beyonce. Oh my gosh, Beyonce. We even have public social media posts from Kamala Harris staffers referencing Beyonce last night. They've now deleted some of these. The media began to build up hype for the DNC based on these rumors. There's a surprise. Oh my gosh, Beyonce, tune in. You're not going to want to miss it. And then there was no surprise. There was no George Bush. There was no Beyonce. There was no nothing. So what happened? Well, the Harris campaign, doing what it's always done, they lied. It very clearly came from the Harris campaign. They used their media connections to lie and pretend like there was going to be Beyonce to get more eyes and ears on the convention when there was no Beyonce. Now, I need to explain, once again, the connection with campaigns and media people. This is a very incestuous world, and it's a world where oftentimes, if you are a political person on the Democrat or Republican side, you will work in both sides of this world back and forth for a lot of your career. If you're a Democrat staffer now or intern or something like that, if you're in college, you will intern for a Democrat congressman. You know, your daddy made a phone call, you're an intern. From there, when you graduate college, you'll work as an assistant producer for MSNBC. Eventually, Senator Cory Booker calls and he wants you to be his assistant communications director and you go work for a senator. After that, you got a new gig at CNN and you go back and work. You see how this works? You go back and forth based on your promotions. And because you have connections in both worlds, you have sources in both worlds. When you're in the media, you have political sources who can leak things to you. When you're in politics, you have media sources. You can get them to leak things out. What I'm saying is Kamala Harris's people went to people they knew in the media, friends, allies, sources. And they went to them and they said, hey, Beyonce's coming tonight. There's going to be a big surprise. I'm just letting you know there's going to be a big surprise. But here's why this is a big deal. You just made that media person look like a fool. TMZ, they report on politics and sports and entertainment. You know, they're paparazzis and it's kind of a low morals, gross media organization. But TMZ has a long history of being accurate and having sources and reporting things before anyone else does. They do. TMZ reported on this surprise last night. That means someone in Kamala Harris's campaign used their connections at TMZ to leak something out that was false. TMZ looks bad today. Now, the question is, and I think we probably already know the answer, but the question is, Do the media sources that have been burned and had their reputations burned by this, do they turn on the Harris campaign? Or do they continue carrying water for the campaign that just kicked dirt in their faces? Well, you and I already know the answer to that. They're going to continue carrying water for them. So today, before I'm going to get to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions now. Today, I want you to put a smile on your face. Why? Because the despicable people at the DNC had a terrible night. Kamala Harris can't speak. It wasn't inspiring. It doesn't look like they're going to get a bounce in the polls. And the equally terrible people in the American media who carry water on behalf of the people in power instead of protecting you, they also look stupid today. They were lied to, humiliated. All the worst people had a horrible night last night. Doesn't that make you feel good? It puts a smile on my friggin' face, I'll tell you that much. Put a smile on your face. It's Friday, baby. I couldn't be more fired up. Maybe it's the chalk, though. My wife was actually making fun of me. She was drying her hair this morning, and she's like, come hang out with me, come hang out. You know how women are. But I was busy in the kitchen. I had just gotten done eating breakfast. You know my routine? I eat breakfast. I pour a cup of coffee. It's male vitality stack time in the morning. Come hang out with me. So I had to bring in my little 7-day pill thing like I'm 80 years old, only it's got my male vitality stack from chocolate. So I brought it into the bathroom, and I was taking my male vitality stack when I was talking to her. Look, I'm not missing days. I don't miss days anymore. Once you experience how much better you feel, how much more energized you are, how much better your mind works when you get a stack from chalk in your veins, natural herbal supplements, male vitality stacks, female vitality stacks, chalk lit powder, you name it, you'll never stop. You'll never miss a day. You have questions about the things they have because they have a ton of stuff? You can ask them. They don't just sit there and take orders. They're here to help. 50CHOQ3000. That's 50CHOQ3000. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And I actually have, before I get to the other Ask Dr. Jesse questions, I have to get to some programming notes here, but just again, put a smile on your face. The Harris campaign looks bad. Democrats look bad. The convention was bad, and the media looks bad. That's a good day. Jesse, my wife Joan is having Jesse withdrawals. We watch your radio and TV show on the first TV, and we are subscribers. I understand you just lost Michael, who's going on to a new adventure, but my wife is having a meltdown, and I'm getting the brunt of it. Please give me some relief and have someone post your shows. Listen, thank you. His name is Brian, and his lovely dime is named Joan. Okay, so I need to explain what's happening right now because it is a little bit confusing, and we're getting some of these emails, and something else just happened that makes it extra confusing. So this week, remember, okay, let's begin at the beginning. I have two different shows. I have this, the radio show you're listening to right now. I also have a one-hour television show that's on also Monday through Friday every single night. The television show is aired on the first TV. The first TV is available everywhere, streaming, DirecTV, Pluto, like it's all over the place. It streams on the first TV. That's my television show. But, and this is going to get confusing. I know there's a lot. There's a lot of me. The first TV also airs a video portion of this radio show. The radio show you're listening to can be consumed live on radio stations across the country. Maybe that's how you're listening to it right now. A lot of people listen the next day to the podcast version of it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, you can download the podcast. Maybe it's Saturday as you're listening to the sound of my voice right now. A lot of people listen that way. That's a thing. But that's the different ways you can watch and consume all this stuff. Now for the confusion. You know, we lost producer Michael. He is moving on. He has ambitions to switch careers. He wants to do something different. It's really cool. We're proud of him. We're happy for him. We miss him. But Michael's gone. Michael was running the simulcast of the radio show on the first TV. So my radio show, as you can hear, is still here. It hasn't gone anywhere. The TV show I do is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. There's just a little break in videoing the radio show, and that should be back next week, okay? I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't taken a day off. Now, I feel like there may be some confusion because there are some affiliates across the country. Remember, every affiliate, they have their own business motto. They have their own way of doing things, and it's not my job to judge or anything how people choose to do things. Here's what I mean by that. There are some affiliates, they would consider themselves more of a entertainment, news, talk, opinion programming station. Many of those affiliates, they're not going to turn off my show to play for you a bunch of communists speaking at the DNC. That's their business motto. There are other affiliates who view themselves as news organizations, like their ABC, NBC, CBS, like that kind of New York Times, consider themselves official news shows. And they would be the ones who'd be more likely to turn off a program like this one you enjoy and play the DNC because it's the DNC and it's once every 4 years. And I'm not judging that either. Really, I don't care about that. If you ever run into a situation where you listen live on your local affiliate and they're not carrying all 3 hours or they're cutting away to the dome speaking or something like that, you can just go to the iHeartRadio app, or it's even on your computer you can log into. It's free. All this is free. And you can listen to this show from any affiliate in the country, no matter where you are. You understand? So I want to clarify, I haven't gone anywhere, and different affiliates handle things different ways. When you throw in the confusion of the fact that Michael's gone and the simulcast is gone, I know all this stuff gets confusing, and I know that was a long explanation, but my mentor, Michael Berry, constantly reminds me, he said, people have busy lives. They're not following your freaking life. You have to remind people where they can get certain things, where they can't get certain things, the why that can. I fall into this trap where I just assume everyone knows because I'm an arrogant jerk and everyone doesn't know. So there, I've been here. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here for you. All right. All right. Dr. Jesse, why do you think they cremated the shooter's body so quickly? Did he have tattoos of swastikas or an image of Mao? What kind of drugs were in his system? Okay. This has been something I have been hesitant to comment on because it looks so bad. It looks so bad. I don't know if you have heard, but the would-be Trump assassin, I try not to say his name. I don't believe I've said his name on the show. Maybe I have. If I did once, it was a slip-up. I don't say the name of mass shooters and assassins because most of the time these losers do this in part because they want recognition as they're leaving this planet. They want to be remembered. So I try not to say his name. I know you already know his name, but I just don't do it. I don't want to contribute to that. They cremated the man's body. Now, I understand it's been a month and he's probably starting to smell a little bit, but this is a gigantic scandal. You don't destroy any evidence. Most definitely, you don't destroy his body in the wake of something like this. And they destroyed his body quickly, just straight up turned him into ash. So there are only two explanations for this. They're both bad. One is bad. The other one's flat out frightening. Let's discuss those two explanations. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So let's talk about this cremated body of the would-be Trump assassin, all right? in the wake of any crime, evidence is preserved. Major, important, scandalous crimes, it's preserved and guarded. You would never cremate the body of somebody who almost blew off the Republican nominee for president's head immediately. That's just not something that is done. It's not something that is done at all. So there are only two explanations for how this could possibly happen, because that is a body that would be immediately taken into custody by the feds. It's not as if the family can step in and say, hey, we're here for our son. No. That body becomes property of the federal government, federal law enforcement immediately. If he has been cremated, there are only two explanations, and they're both bad. One is frightening. The other one's just bad. The first explanation is simple politics. What do I mean by that? Well, Democrats don't want the attempted assassination of Trump on anyone's mind because it makes people mad. It makes people more likely to vote for Trump. It makes Trump a sympathetic figure. Shut up, Chris. I keep dropping my pen. Anyway, they don't want the assassination attempt on people's minds. That's why disgusting media outlets like CNN and others immediately ran with headlines making it sound like Trump fell or something. And then they stopped reporting on the assassination attempt almost immediately. That's an intentional thing. They don't want the norms and normas of the United States of America thinking about the fact that someone tried to kill Donald Trump. So we know federal law enforcement has been completely rotted and corrupted, and we know they're evil secret state police agencies now. Virtually all of them are. ATF always has been. FBI is despicable. I actually really like the U.S. Marshals. Beyond them, they're all pretty much hot, stinky garbage. They are. They're bad. It's really bad. And they're full of evil people who consider themselves communist activists, Democrat activists. So the best, the sunniest explanation for this at all is federal law enforcement. We'll just call it the FBI because they're for sure going to be the highest governing authority in this case. People at the FBI thought, hey, the quicker we vaporize this body, the quicker we vaporize this story, and we can move on to talking about how Trump's a Nazi and things like that. That's the best explanation. The best explanation is federal law enforcement working with the media, with Democrats, decided to try to vaporize some evidence so we can move on and move along. That's the best explanation. The worst explanation is obviously much, much worse. The worst explanation is the federal government took part in this assassination attempt. Thomas Crooks was groomed, trained, manipulated, however you want to put it, by forces within the government or adjacent to the government. And those same forces grabbed a hold of his body after he was dead and cremated it. Listen, I don't know what happened, and because we live in a system of lies, we'll never know. But I do know this, and again, this was told to me to my face from a United States senator, Ron Johnson's his name, in Wisconsin. To my face. So this is a senator. This isn't some online internet blog. This is not a man who would speak out of turn. Immediately after Crooks got his head turned into a canoe, a man in a suit climbed up on the roof, began looking at the body, and began telling local law enforcement to forward him all the pictures of the dead body. Local law enforcement says, oh, okay, that's a little weird. I guess we'll do it. We traced the phone number, I should say the government, the Senate, they traced the phone number, figured out who it was. That was an ATF agent requesting all kinds of pictures of the dead body. Okay, odd, but not the end of the world, I guess. I guess I could maybe see, okay, maybe he's just a Maybe he's just a braggart. He wants to show his buddies at a party this Friday. Maybe, okay, not the end of the world. An ATF agent would probably be able to look at those pictures anyway. None of this stuff is that eye-popping yet until you get to this part of it. The United States Senate reaches out to this ATF agent and they say, hey, you want to tell us what's going on here? Why you requested all these pictures? The guy clams up and lawyers up. So if it was anything official at all, he obviously would have just said, oh, this is for my department head. This is for, I'm working on this case. They're for my files. When you're an ATF agent requesting pictures of the dead body by the United States Senate and they ask you why and you immediately say, I'm not talking, talk to my lawyer. That's bad. Look, having three different encrypted accounts overseas looks bad. Having a 12-channel receiver on you looks bad. Explosives in your van looks bad. 20-year-old dork knew to purchase tickets a week ahead of time and recon the site ahead of time using a drone. Again, I know these are things you can pick up online or just if you're a thinker, but how many 20-year-olds do you know have that level of forethought in planning? I'll tell you, 20-year-old Jesse didn't. 20-year-olds don't think things through. 20-year-olds, especially dudes, they're just pure testosterone. You don't start thinking things through until you're 30. This 20-year-old, he sure operated like somebody who had some teaching, training, however you want to put this. And of course, immediately, his head is blown off, body cremated, media moves on. Those are the only two explanations for why a body would be cremated that quickly, a body of this much interest to federal law enforcement. That is just simply not something that's done at all. Because you would want to go back, things would come up, you would want to go back and maybe run a test, look for something. You mentioned tattoos, drugs, you would DNA testing. These are things that you go back and forth and look at. This is not something that's done. You don't take an assassin at this level and just ship him right into the flames. Oh, what? You wanted to check for something? Sorry, he's in a tomato can now. That's not something that is done. Yet it was done for the man who tried to blow off Donald Trump's head right in between when Trump got immunity and before he got the nomination at the convention. I don't know what happened. As I said, I don't know. You don't know. I am suspicious, as you can tell. I'm assuming you're extremely suspicious. But if you are a powerful organization of any kind, whether it's Iran, the freaking CIA, BlackRock, I don't care who it is. If you're any powerful organization, private, government, I don't care who you are. And you wanted, and you did, I should say, train and groom this young man to go do what he almost did. What would you have done differently? Nothing. The timing was perfect. The location was perfect. The recon was perfect. He had the right weapon. Everything was perfect. Outside of Donald Trump turning his head to look at a graph about immigration at the exact moment the trigger was pulled, outside of that, this was the perfect assassination. How does an untrained 20-year-old pull off the perfect assassination of the President of the United States of America? Yeah, I know. You know what? I feel gross. I want to move on. Let's talk a little military talk. Someone wants to know about support personnel. Why are so many support personnel needed? Let's discuss that. Before we discuss that, let's discuss your pain. The daily pain that nags at you. Isn't that what it's like? Like a nag? You ever known a nag? Maybe a mom, maybe an ex-wife, a girlfriend. Have you ever had a nag in your life? Take the trash down. That's what pain is like, that constant pain. Your back's bothering you all the time, right between your shoulder blades. you get up and your knee makes you go do that thing when you get up. You have any pain like that? You know, Relief Factor will help you fight that pain naturally. Drug-free. Drug-free. Stop ignoring it. Stop masking it. Help reduce or even eliminate it with Relief Factor. You take it for 3 weeks and tell me how that pain is. It might be gone completely. Imagine it being gone completely. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. But just one last word on this Trump assassin. Chris brought up a good point during the break. He said, how does somebody even afford all that? Someone that age who works that job? It's not exactly shocking Chris would think about the finances of all this, but still. What, Chris? It's true. I mean, look, leave it to Chris to figure out the money angle, but still, it's a good point. That stuff's expensive. You can't afford McDonald's when you're 20 years old anymore. Apparently this dude, you got 12-channel receivers and... Yeah, I'm suspicious. Jay Steele, huge fan of WW2 docs, and I've heard a statistic several times that I find almost unbelievable. In these docs, it's always the guys with the guns, mortars, flamethrowers, etc. that we see. It's said that the ratio of these frontline guys to support folks is 27 to 1. That is something I simply can't digest without explanation, so I'm hoping you could help me out. Who the heck are all these folks, and what did they do? Okay. People do not... Look, I understand grunts, infantry. We get all the love, and you get all the movie stuff and stuff like that. And look, grunts are proud to be grunts. I chose to be a grunt on purpose. That's what I wanted to be. For me, that was like, I want to be a real Marine, so I chose to be a grunt. But... people do not understand the significance of support personnel and how many of them are needed. So allow me to explain. You brought up World War II, so we'll make it about World War II. All right. On D-Day, everyone knows about D-Day. We'll use D-Day. Okay, so you see the airborne guys. You see the guys landing on the beaches getting shot to pieces. So let's just walk through this. Why do these guys need so much support? Who are the support personnel? Okay, well, first, what did we do first before the men actually put boots on the ground? What are two things we did first? Let's focus on the air. We dropped a lot of bombs on those beaches in that area. We dropped a lot of bombs. Okay, what air? Big bomber planes, fighter planes. Okay. How many pilots are in there? Not that many. Even the bomber crews, will set the bomber crews aside. Who puts fuel in those planes? Who puts the bombs on the planes? Who gets the bombs out of the box to put them on the plane? Who gets the bombs in the boxes off of the ship? From the ship to the base, where they'll then be put on the planes. Support personnel. It's all support personnel. The plane itself. Planes get shot to pieces. They're mechanical. Things go wrong. Who works on them? Support personnel. The bomber crew. The pilot, all of them. They have to eat. Who's making them food? Support personnel. Again, who's getting the food to where they... Support personnel. Support personnel. This is all support personnel. Also, and now that's just the air portion of it. Exact same thing for the ships, for the Navy. We're going to set aside the crew, even though you would consider a lot of those crew probably support personnel. But even if I didn't want to do that, who's getting all those shells, all that fuel, all that thing? You know what you don't think of? What they don't advertise when you're thinking about these big naval convoys? Fuel. You ever study things like the Battle of the Philippine Sea and the things the Japanese went to? They kept running out of gas. Well, how do you do that? You have these huge oilers full of support personnel. How do you get the Oilers filled up? Support personnel. Now let's set aside, I already listed, that's a laundry list of support personnel needed. Let's set them aside and just focus on the grunts themselves. I hit the beach. I'm in the airborne. I was never airborne, but I hit the beach. It's D-Day, Normandy. I hit the beaches. What am I carrying? What am I wearing? I'm carrying a rifle. Where did I get my rifle? Did I keep it tucked in my sea bag? No, I had to go down to the armory that morning to check my weapon out so I could clean it and get ready. Who runs the armory? Support personnel. I'm going to need water. Where do I fill up my canteens? How do I get food for the day? Support personnel. Are you starting to understand? There are so many different things necessary to put the boots on the ground guy on the ground. And the boots on the ground guy, as much as grunts, myself included, we love to think of ourselves as, oh, look at us, we're the real Marines or whatever it may be. None of those guys do anything without the critical support personnel doing their jobs. And you know what? This applies to the highest levels you can think of. The Navy SEALs, the Green Berets, the Delta Force types. Oh, surely these guys are superhuman, right? They don't even need support personnel. They need more than the average grunt. They need more. Oh, intelligence. I didn't even bring up intelligence. Who's bringing pictures? Who's the support personnel? These are all considered support personnel. It takes so much to make an army move. I was reading something. It was BIOC. I don't want to give you bad numbers here, so don't take these numbers to heart. They may not be exact, but we were trying to figure out how many Japanese were on the island, and I think we figured out there were 12,000 Japanese on the island. How many combat troops? Oh, about 3,000. The others? Support personnel. I didn't even mention people like the Seabees, the wonderful Seabees. A lot of you have a father, uncle, grandfather who was a Seabee, especially in older times, World War II, Korea. If you have someone you know who was a Seabee in Korea, that dude was probably building a runway under gunfire. Guys were getting shot out of BACOs. Seabees were getting shot out of BACOs, and maybe your dad ran up and dragged the dead body out of the seat and got in and started building an airfield. That's how Seabees, support personnel. Again, it takes a lot of things to make that big military machine go. Ain't no shame in being support personnel. It's freaking awesome is what it is. All right, let's talk about being estranged from family, friends over politics. Someone wants to know about the history of, you know, some wounded knee, Indian wars, things like that. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to supporting people who need it. Speaking of support personnel. I am blessed to live where I live. I have had precisely zero rockets fired at me while living in the United States of America. It's a nice perk of having this country. If you're in Israel, you are surrounded by people who want you dead all day, every day. It's crazy. I remember when we were over there, me and Chris, just looking at the security that was necessary to even stay alive. It's wild. The IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're over there providing the support. The bulletproof ambulances, the flak jackets, the firefighting. They have a donor who's matching 500 donations of $150. They're asking for $150 because a donor's going to match it. They're already past 150 of these donations. Call, join them. 888-488-IFCJ. Or support ifcj.org. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.